Good morning, All Saints. It's always this moment when you've got a time icon and you think, are they going to respond? So that was good, fantastic. Coffee machine. Because if you can't have coffee during a sermon, what's the world coming to? No, seriously. There's a conversation that takes place. I should have learned how to use it. Does anyone know where we're pouring water in? Arthur, you know. Come on. Lift up this bit. Okay. So it's actually turned into more of a challenge than I thought. Yes. Fantastic. Are you going to tell me before I put this in, we've got to put some coffee in, so let's do that. There we are. Who likes their coffee strong? Pour it in. What can go wrong? Great. Is it going to work? Which button shall I press now? I press this one. Yeah, that's done loads of, I'm sure it's going to be fine. We'll find out in due course. Seriously, there's a conversation, isn't there, that takes place billions of times just in this country. It goes something like this, and it happens at bus stops, it happens at train stations, it happens at places of work, and it will happen tomorrow morning. How was your weekend? And because I'm British, this is what I say. Fine. Or if you're really lucky, you'll get, all right. Or if I'm really in the mood to talk, you might get something not bad. And that's a marked improvement for myself growing up in Essex, where as a boy, as a teenage boy, you'd be lucky to get, That really would be communication. And some of you will know just how cultural this is. Because if you're American, and I've worked a couple of times out in America, and you say, how are you? You'll get their entire life story. And they will be at pains to tell you just how much they've done in a weekend if you ask them what they've done that weekend. And how amazing and how wonderful it was. But that question that we have to answer, probably around a cup of coffee tomorrow with our friends, is actually really, really, really important. Because we are connected social beings. And we are called by Christ to be unique. And so when we answer that question tomorrow, there should be something different about how we respond. And I have to say, personally, I have found preparing this sermon really, really challenging. Because I'm not sure I'm always that different from those around me. What is it about the fact that I follow a Savior called Jesus that makes me different? And it's that question I want to look at today. Shall we just pray quickly before I get into the meat of this sermon? Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to gather like this. We're just so aware that there's so many people out there who can't gather in freedom. Lord, help us to encounter you today. Help us each to receive that which you have for us. Help us to move on in your spirit. Amen. This is our last series looking at Exodus. And this is an absolutely amazing story. And I feel a bit like, well, frankly, the England team, but having been set up with the glorious kind of on the goal, I'm about to scruff it to the side of the net because I complete this series. But let's just review where we've got to in Exodus. You see, we see in this story, we see God redefining his relationship with humanity. We see a God that introduces himself and wants to have relationship. We see a God that cares about what we do. We see a God of second chances. We see a God that cares passionately about us having relationship with him. We see a God that cares about how we spend our time, and we see a God that wants to come down literally to a mountaintop to meet with Moses. And today, really, represents the pinnacle of that story for Israel. And we see the temple described in the reading that was just done. And we see there something special, something new, something almost impossible to imagine. We see a God wanting to dwell with humanity. Now, look, we're gathered in a church here, aren't we? We stand on the shoulders of 2,000 years of Christian history, 10,000 plus years of Jewish history, and we probably don't think this is anything special, or at least sometimes I don't think it's something special. But let's try and imagine what on earth God was trying to do in that temple, in the verses that we've heard read this morning. Because I believe this is a beautiful picture. It's a temple created by humans, full of their symbolism, which God chooses to come and dwell, and which we see the people of Israel gather around. And as I reflected, I thought perhaps the easiest way that we understand this today is in a metaphor. Matt, can you come up? You see, we've got to get into our brains and our hearts something about what God was doing. And when I was thinking about this, the easiest way of understanding the temple began to me to be a musical metaphor, an idea of what is going on. Why is God calling people together around? Because what God is doing through the temple is he's starting to articulate a baseline. He's creating a space where his rhythm is heard. And that, in actual fact, is something that happens for the first time between God and humanity in this Exodus story at this moment. So when we see Israel gather around the temple, we see them starting to listen to with God. Sam, can I ask you to come up? And through the temple, when we hear that God descends into it and his presence is felt, we see that humanity, the nation of Israel, is encouraged to start to join in with what's happening. Starting to pick up the chord structure, the pace of God. Starting to pick up the rhythm of what God is calling us to do and to be. Rachel, can I ask you to come up? But the metaphor doesn't end there, does it? Because we've heard the reading today, we've heard this vision of a God that calls Israel to stay and go at times. And we hear the start of humanity being asked in their relationship with God to move on beyond just a kind of a one-way ticket, a kind of a set of regulations, but it starts the journey. We're actually asked to start joining in with what God is doing and saying. Sometimes that involves risk-taking. And goodness me, the Israelites knew about risk. They spent a long time in the desert. But we see God weaving something so special, so amazing into the DNA of Israel. And today our job is to understand what on earth was God doing. Let's just listen to the music. Now, the question we have to answer today is, what is the relevance of the temple many thousands of years ago? Where does that ground in our faith, our Christian faith, this morning? And I have news today, and I have to say it's news that shocked me as I thought through this week. You see, it gets amazing when we start to understand the temple analogy. Because we see in Jesus somebody who comes to radically reimagine the temple again. He changes it again. We can sit here, can't we, and we can understand the Israel temple structure. But in a sense, this church can be sometimes a false idol. It can be something that we kind of pin our hopes on. I can. Because actually, here's the news. The temple is in our hearts. John 4, verse 21 to 24 says this, and this is where the gospel writer is describing Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan at the well. And we see Jesus declare this: "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." We see Jesus painting this picture of the end of the temple. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, takes it a step further. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." And we can go and fast forward in the same book, chapter 6:18-20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you?" That blows my mind. "Whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." Hebrews 10:10, another one. "And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." See, this is amazing stuff. If the temple for Exodus and the story of Israel was a game changer, then God moves his relationship with us even closer through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God is no longer someone to be found only in spaces like this. Though he is still here, and there are still places where you can encounter God because they're thinner and somehow he indwells. But we are called to be very literally also thin places, also places in tune with God. And I have to say, this is a bit of a kicker for me. When you join these dots, it changes everything. So let's just return to Matt's baseline. We are called to be tuned into God's bass beat and to play that in our lives. And if there's one thing that you can take away from today, we are the temple through which people will hear God's deep bass note. Our actions, our ways of being, the things we should do to tap out God's beat and draw people to Him. Sam, join in. See, just like the Exodus temple, the call in ours is to encourage those around us to join in with that bass beat. Our very being should be encouraging other people to hear that bass beat, to help people learn to play the piano with God. We have two calls on life: to listen to God, yes, but also to help others listen and play, just like the temple did for Israel those many thousands of years ago. And it's so easy, isn't it, to make our faith about what we do, about coming to church on a Sunday, about being in this building, about being part of a club. But actually, just like that temple was, when I have a cup of coffee tomorrow and I'm asked, how was my weekend? My call on life is to ask the question, how can I get you to play piano with God? How do I connect you with what I know to be true? And let's take that one step further. Let's bring Rachel in. You see, we are called to encourage others to step out in God, just like the temple did for Israel. We have the power to sense God calling us, daring others to take risks for Him. Just like a soloist, our job is to release people to dance with God, to write new chapters, to do new creative things, to draw people into rhythm with Him. And so it matters, doesn't it? All of life matters. How we are with our friends, our work colleagues, the people we go to college with. Because we're in a dance, a beautiful dance with God. Have to start to learn, and I am one of those people that is not great at it, what this dance means. How should my work life be? How should I be with my family? How should I be with my friends, the people I choose to spend time with? So tomorrow, Monday morning, maybe coffee's not your thing, maybe you've made a tea, maybe you're like my wife and you don't like either and you have to have water. I want to challenge you to four things. Firstly, today, look honestly at where you are with God. Some of you might never have had an encounter where you felt God inside of you. That's all right. But I would say that He wants so much to meet you. And at the end of today, there'll be a time for prayer. Because with God, we know, is a God of relationship, and not of God of rules. He's not some distant person up high in heaven. He is in us, and he wants to dwell in us. So if you are in that place and you're thinking, goodness me, Nick, I have no idea what you're going on about, just get some prayer and ask God to come into your heart, because he will meet you, because we know a God that wants to have relationship. And for some of you here this morning, do you know what? Life is just hard, and I've been in that place too. And you once knew God, and right now, he feels a long way off. And do you know what? We stand with you if you're in that place this morning. And come and get some prayer. We won't promise it will fix it, but we will promise that we will stand with you in that place. So that's my first challenge. Use your cup of coffee tomorrow, your tea, whatever it is, to have a moment to think, where am I with God? Where am I in that relationship stream? Is God in here, or is God somewhere over there? Like Darius said at the moment, am I in God's grace? Or actually, am I just going through the motions of religion? But my second coffee challenge is this. Remember tomorrow morning that our job is connecting people. We have a holy call to connect people into God's base beat, his rhythm. And this is where the sermon got really hard when I was preparing it, because I was like, well, what on earth does that mean? And I think the church gets this a bit wrong sometimes. And I wanted to figure out, so this is my prognosis about how you do it. And because I'm a lawyer, and sometimes I like to think and get research behind something, I've done a bit of research into how we would connect people, and I come up with some surprising results of my research. The biggest single thing we can do to connect people with God is this. And this is a bit of an aha moment for me, all right? So are you ready for this moment, all right? The biggest single thing you can do to connect people to God is to tell them you go to church. And I will repeat that. The biggest single thing you can do to someone else is simply to tell them you go to church. And do you know what? The biggest weakness as Christians in getting people to know God is that they don't tell them they go to church. And I'm the worst of it. Because when I have that conversation, I go, all right, thank you. Fine. I don't go, I went to church. That's all it takes. And the reason that's important is because people know you, and they probably think you're all right. And if you say you go to church, they probably think it's all right to go to church. And behavioral science would say that's a game changer. So just by having a conversation that says, instead of tomorrow, I'm all right, you go, actually, I went to church, you've made it 10 times, apparently, according to research, more likely that person's going to go to church down the line. Just by having that conversation. Not telling them about Jesus, not telling them about God, just saying, I went to church. But my third coffee challenge is, we're drawing people into this rhythm of God is, how can we make that better? Can we do anything more? Does behavioral science tell me, as somebody who thinks logically, about anything else I can do to engage someone more? And it does. Because again, there's been so much research into this. The second biggest thing you can do to help someone connect with God is, wait for it, tell them why you go to church. I know. I decided on this research on the internet, and I was like, I was waiting for the big kind of questions, those kind of big kind of like answers, and I was like, all right. Now, why is that? Well, you see, if you're if you care about green issues and it's really important, you want to save the environment, and you want to get somebody to switch off their lights, you don't actually tell them about the green issues. You just tell them you're going to save some money. Yeah? Does that make sense? Because people inherently probably care about the environment, but they really care about what they're going to get out of it. Yeah, so if you're trying to change people's behavior, tell them what you're going to get out of it. It's just like us when we're talking about God. It is actually something like, do you know what? I find my space on Sunday morning amazing. And do you know what I was reflecting on Sunday morning was how lucky I am to have you as a friend. That's it. You've now made it not just 10 times more likely to come to church, you made it 15 or 20 times more likely they're going to come to church because they think you're normal, well, probably not me, but most of you out there, and he gets something from it. And that's not a big, heavy conversation. That's simply telling them that you find that space on Sunday morning a good time to reset yourself and reconnect with where you are. Now, of course, you can even improve on that answer. But again, it's not rocket science. So you could say something like, I'm so thankful for church. It's the one place that I find I can have the opportunity to share with people about my relationships and get the support I need. Again, it's not rocket science. It's actually just changing and reorientating people around God. But we're really bad as a group of people. We've disconnected. We somehow don't want to talk about that. And if you think about it, if we just row back to that original temple, this is behavioral science stuff that we think we've invented in the last 30 years, is actually just what God was doing through the temple. By creating a place around which a nation was orientated, God was normalizing the idea of following God and was making a place of connecting you and giving you a reason for it. And we've heard about all the amazing stuff that the nation of Israel were encouraged to put in that. And they're talking about their story by doing that, aren't they? They're remembering everything that they're about. And so our call today is to be a bit like that. To be reminding people of the stories in their life where we need God, where God makes a difference, where God changes things. Not in some heavy way, but in some really down-to-earth possible way. And my fourth coffee house challenge this morning is this. The third thing you can do to invite somebody to know God, after you've told them you go to church, secondly, after you've said why you go to church, is this. Ready for it. The third reason people become a Christian and follow God is they get invited to come. So you've all received this morning a little leaflet. Why not invite someone? Who do you know that you could say to during the next week, simply, I'd love you to come to me with this. I really feel passionately about Jesus, and it would just be a chance for you to hear more of what I believe in. Now, obviously, you have to get them past the fact that you've told them a few weeks ago that you've been to church, and then you have to get them to the point where they think it's meaningful, so you're on the journey. But it's not that hard. But we find it so difficult. And yet we have this holy call to be pulling people into the rhythm of God. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And I want to do two things in our response time. Firstly, if you fall into that group of people who do not know God closely right now, or have just known him, but do you know what? I've got to church, and where my faith is right now, I'm doing well just having done that. Come over here for prayer, okay? Wherever you're at, we stand with you, because that's our job as fellow travelers on this journey with Christ. But I am going to be here because I'm going to make the following promise today. And I would invite you, if you want to stand with me in a moment, to join in that place. And I'm going to ask for Darius to come and pray over us. My second response is this. Are you willing to stand with me and over the next 25 weeks tell 25 people that you go to church? Not that high. It can happen at any one of these conversations. 25 weeks, 25 people, simply to say, I go to church. Because you will, by doing that, transform 25 people's lives. And I'll be honest, I'm slightly scared by that challenge. I don't know why. It's stupid, isn't it? I'm even working on the staff team. I should be out there telling people about God. But somehow, something in me goes, argh! So that's simply the challenge. And I will be standing here when the band start playing. And if you want to join me, that's great. If I'm standing here alone, well, then it's my commitment to you, and I'll tell you how I do. All right? So let's pray. God of adventure, God of love, God of relationships, help us to understand what it is to take risks, to know you more closely, to be able to communicate how much we love you with others, to show you how you love all people wherever they are at. Help us to subvert our culture, to signpost people to you. Help us to have an answer when we are asked how we are, to be able to encourage others into a relationship with you, to be risk takers with others, daring to believe in the love you have for all. Amen.